me. There's still room to social distance if you feel a little too close to somebody. Front pew is always open, and there's other areas as well. I thank the Lord that we're seeing some progress. I listened to a little bit of the news this morning, and the Nashville mayor was very optimistic in his comments with all the vaccines that are being taken and the way things are going. He said, in his words, I quote, that the way things are going, he felt like by July everything would be back to normal. So that's encouraging. Little steps along the way. My brother's pastor up in Michigan, they're not having service today because they had a couple in the church that had the virus, and his pastor is one of them, and he's in the hospital as a result of that right now, so I ask that you pray for him. And also Brother Danny, I didn't mention him during prayer, but Brother Danny, a farmer, is out with his back this morning, so we miss him, but hope that he gets to healing quickly. Any word on anyone's heart before we get to the word? If not, grab your Bible, your iPad, your cell phone, whatever your Bible is on. That's all the only thing I want you to use those other things for, your Bible. But turn with me to Luke's Gospel, the 9th chapter. Luke's Gospel, the 9th chapter, is where I want to read from, and I'm going to begin my reading in verse 23 in just a moment. But this is a good chapter. It begins with our Lord empowering the 12 disciples or apostles. And it said there in verse 1, then he called his 12 disciples together, and he gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure disease, and he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. And as the chapter continues, we're familiar with the feeding of the 5,000. I preached on that not too long ago. But in picking up in verse 23, and he, Jesus, and he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. And I'm going to stop with that as my reading lesson this morning. My text is going to come from John's Gospel, the 12th chapter, and the 26th verse. Jesus also speaking here, he said, if any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. My thought this morning, you know, the last couple of weeks I've been preaching about misconceptions. And I've talked about the misconceptions that existed about the church and tried to share some truth about that. Last week we talked about the misconceptions of worship that some people have, and we tried to define that. This morning, and continuing that thought, I want to talk about some of the misconceptions about discipleship. And as Jesus was writing to us here, really what he shared with us was some conditions for discipleship. And so let me begin this morning by asking for a show of hands. How many disciples of the Lord are among us this morning? How many disciples of the Lord are among us this morning? Okay, quite a few hands went up, and I can't see into the parking lot, but I am guessing that several of you raised your hands as well. I couldn't help notice that not every hand went up, that there were some hands that did not raise. And I suppose that could be because perhaps you're not saved yet, or perhaps maybe you just don't consider yourself a disciple of the Lord or a disciple of God. And hopefully, with the help of the Lord and your prayers, as I try to share with you from God's Word this morning, that some of the misconceptions maybe that people have about discipleship can be cleared up through the truth of God's Word. And you know, discipleship, when you hear that word discipleship, I guess we kind of, it's got a high-class sounding to it, doesn't it? Discipleship. You know, there's a certain authenticity or a certain legitimacy that we have when we hear that word. You know, I'm a disciple of Christ. And, you know, some of the misconceptions that discipleship is about is some people say, well, discipleship is all about increasing in knowledge. And you know, if we're going to be disciples, or if we're even going to be better disciples, you know, we got to learn more about the Bible. And when we can say words like sanctification, and when we can say words like propitiation, and when we can say words like justification and glorification, well, when we can say words like that without stuttering, maybe we've made it. We're a disciple. Some, on the other hand, may say, well, you know, when I can know some of the Greek or some of the Hebrew words and can say them, well, then I'm there. And of course, others, they have the perception that when I know more than you know, then I'm a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. Anybody remember I'm trying to think of the word I'm looking for here. I don't know if it's an acronym. Maybe an acronym is the right word. BTU. Anybody ever remember growing up BTU? Well, what that basically stood for was Baptist Training Union. That's what that stood for, BTU, Baptist Training Union. And some had the misconception that discipleship happened only on Sunday evenings when they would meet before the church service and they would have a designated time that was set aside in a classroom setting where they trained them. And they would get books from, Lifeway Christian Bookstore or whatever, and they would use that as their training manual. And, you know, that was the time that was designated by God as discipleship training. That's what some people thought. And some had the misconception that being a disciple of the Lord, that was an option for Christians. That was, you could decide whether or not you wanted to be that. And for some, you know, if it didn't happen at 10:45 a.m. On Sunday morning, then they would say, I think I'll pass. And, you know, we got 168 hours of the week that all of us have to do something with. And there are some that think that they get all they need to know about Jesus and all they need to know about Him out of that 168 hours. If they spent 1 hour a week, that, you know, that's plenty. And you know, some people realize that there are people that want more, that there are people who want to do more, and that there are people that want to serve more. But they justify their attitude or their actions by saying, hey, I'm just as saved as they are. And therefore, as a result of that, you know, they feel like, what's the problem? And listen, this morning, a lot of people, it's sad to say, but they just feel like they have better things to do. And that the church should just be happy if they show up. And you know, there's just so many misconceptions that I believe that are out there. You know, some people have a misconception that discipleship's goal is to show people the rules to be a better Christian. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? We're talking about the things that you can do, and we're talking about the things that you can't do, and we're talking about the do's and the don'ts and the cans and the can'ts. It, for some people, it's just sapping the life out of their life. When you hear the word discipleship, I wonder this morning, brothers and sisters, are these some of the things that cross your mind? I believe this morning that if we'll stop and think about it, and if we'll listen to my message this morning, what if discipleship is something more? What if discipleship made a real difference in your life? What if it helps you to be a true disciple. And I think we first have to begin this morning by defining what a disciple is. And if you've got your Bible still there and opened my passage that I read, I want to read again from the 9th chapter, the 23rd, 24th verse. It said, Jesus said, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. Jesus identifies a disciple as a follower. He said, if any man, and that means anyone, man, woman, boy, or girl, if anyone, he said, would come after me. In other words, what he's saying to us this morning, if anybody wants to follow me, if anyone wants to associate with me, if anyone wants to walk with me and be with me, Jesus said they'll have to follow me. That's the biblical, I would say that's the biblical definition of a disciple, a follower of Jesus Christ. I believe Jesus tells us what being a disciple requires. That's important. Then you'll know next time when I ask if we have a disciple to raise your hand, you'll know if you're a disciple or not. But to be a disciple, I think we all understand it's to be in a relationship with the Lord. It's having what I always call an intimate and a personal relationship with God. And there's only one way to be able to achieve that kind of a relationship, and that is through, my friends, a repentant heart of faith. It's through a salvation experience that is afforded to all of humanity by the Lord Jesus Christ through His death and His burial and His resurrection. Paul, in the book of Acts, in the 4th chapter, in the 12th verse, he said it as plain as I guess it can be said. He said, neither is there salvation in any other. He said, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. That's pretty plain, isn't it? The world we live in today tries to tell the world that there's many different ways to become a disciple, that there's many different ways to become a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there are people in this world that react negatively to the fact that there's no other name or there's no other way than that of Jesus to call upon for salvation. But I want you to know something this morning. This isn't something that the church decided. This isn't a policy that the church said this is the way that it has to be. We need to remember and know that this was the specific teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. I probably quote it every Sunday. You know what I'm talking about, right? John chapter 14 and verse 6. What did he say? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father by me. So the church didn't decide this, but we have it directly from the Lord Jesus Christ. Those of you that read my study from this past Wednesday, the title of my study was that of tolerance. And we talked about how there are things that Christian people have to be open-minded about on many issues, but not on how that we are to be saved from sin. There is no other way than the way that Jesus provided for us as we have in the Scriptures. The Scripture told us that being a disciple of Jesus requires something. It said it requires self-denial. Jesus said, if any man come after me, let him deny himself. He must deny himself. I suppose when most of us hear that word self-denial, I suppose it usually has a negative connotation to us. We think about it in a negative way. And when people think about this, I'm persuaded to believe that this idea, this thought of denying ourselves, It becomes a stumbling block in the pathway for many people that are trying to understand what it means to be a child of God and finding that intimate and that personal relationship with God. Satan turns people's minds into thinking, you know, I have to give up this, and if I'm going to be a Christian, and I can't do that, and in seeking the Lord, you know, I'm going to have to give up all the fun, and I have to live a boring life, and I can't do anything exciting anymore if I'm going to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, that's a misconception. Just the things that I shared with you in this morning that took place yesterday with our ladies gathering together, and the things that we have coming up this week, our bowling outing and our Easter egg activities and our sunrise services. You know, I am not unhappy. I'm happy. I'm happy in the Lord. You've heard me say many times, the happiest people in the world ought to be those who are the children of God. Why? Because of the sacrifice that Jesus made. Becoming a child of God isn't giving up anything, but it's gaining everything. If we just stop and think about what the Lord gives us. I guess the way that I would say it is this. Self-denial is all about changing priorities. That's what it's about. It's about changing priorities. Whatever has priority in our lives, brothers and sisters, will dictate what happens in our lives. You stop and think about that. Whatever it is that has priority in your life will dictate what happens in your life. I'll tell you what Jesus wants today. Jesus wants us to make Him our number one priority and not ourselves. You know, we're in a world today that's filled with humanism, and we're so concerned about what makes us happy and trying to seek what makes us happy that so many people are doing that they forget that they're going to find their happiness in the Lord. Because the Lord is where you find happiness. The Lord is where you find goodness and blessings, protection, and so many other things that I could mention that we find there. But I'll tell you what, being a disciple requires things from us, like that self-denial. But being a disciple of the Lord also requires total commitment. That's another thing people don't like to hear, that word total. They don't mind commitment so much, but when they hear the word total in front of commitment, now that takes on a different meaning for them. But Jesus said, He said, take up your cross every once in a while. Take up your cross when it's convenient for you. Take up your cross when you don't have anything else going on in your life. That's not what it said. He said, take up your cross daily. Think about our Lord for a minute. When Jesus took up His own cross, it took His total commitment. You can see that, right? Easter's coming up. We know what Easter's all about. Easter wouldn't be Easter if it wasn't for the total commitment of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was totally committed to what He came to this earth for. He was totally committed to the mission that God sent Him on and that He was willing to be obedient to the Father for. He was totally committed to die on the cross of Calvary as our substitute to make reconciliation back to the Father possible. I'll just be honest with you. Jesus wants our total commitment. That's what He wants from us. He wants us to be totally committed to Him. He wants us to be totally committed to His purpose for our lives. When? Now, here, during our time on this earth. He went on to say that being a disciple of the Lord required something else. It requires complete obedience. Jesus said, follow me. And to follow Jesus means more than walking behind Him. It means to follow all that He said. It means to follow all that He said. It means to follow His words as we live our lives. Jesus wants people who are His to do what He calls us to do. That's all he wants us to do. Do what he has called us to do. I believe that's a fairly accurate description of a disciple. So what is discipleship? If that's what a disciple is, what is discipleship? Let's look at Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, and I'm going to begin reading in verse 11. Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in verse 11, says, "And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." Brothers and sisters, our oneness with Jesus, it does not destroy our individuality. We know that from things that I've said in the past weeks when I talked about the church. We know that the Lord didn't save us for us all to be the exact same. That's why I always say, you know, the Lord calls all kinds of men into the ministries with all different kinds of abilities and all different kinds of talents. Why is that? Because it takes all different kinds to be able to reach everyone with the gospel message that they might hear it and be saved. And it's the same thing with every one of the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're all different. And we all present ourselves to people in a different way. And some ways appeal to this group of people more than this other person here. It's not a bad thing. It's God's way of getting the gospel to all people in a way that is effective and is able to be able to reach all people. And this morning, you know, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit has given each of us special gifts. That's what Ephesians here was talking about. And these gifts were given with a purpose. And that purpose was for the building up of the church, for the edifying of the church and for God's people. And it's critical for the cause of Christ that the gifts that we have been given, that we use them. And we use them for the purpose in which the Lord had intended them. God has given His church an enormous responsibility to make disciples in every nation. I'm not going to turn over there and read it, but we all know Matthew chapter 28, we find in there the Great Commission. And the Great Commission was given that this great gospel message might go out to all places. And God has put people within the church for a specific reason. He put people in the church to help others become disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. They're to prepare God's people for works of service. They're to unify the body of Christ in faith and in knowledge. They're to help God's people to become what? Mature Christians. From the time that we're saved, we're to be learning and we're to be growing and we're to becoming mature in God's Word and His teachings so that He can use us to be able to accomplish what His will would be in our lives. And, you know, when we think about discipleship, it's Christians helping other Christians to become like Jesus. Jesus' example is before us in Scripture. And the teachings of God's Word is we're to emulate, or in other words, we're to copy the Lord Jesus Christ in our walk and in our life. I want to take just a few more minutes before I bring my message to a close, and I want to try to look at some of these misconceptions that I mentioned earlier. The first misconception that I mentioned was that discipleship is all about increasing our biblical knowledge. And I don't think anybody would argue that that's not something that is good. It's not something that God would want. It's what true discipleship is about. It's about increasing our knowledge of God. But it extends from learning about the Bible to learning about the Father to learning about the Son to learning about the Holy Spirit. But you know, when I mentioned BTU earlier, the Bible Training Union that so many churches used to have, they were more than that. People would gather together and they would learn about the history of the church. And they would gather together and they would learn about the doctrines of our faith. And they would learn about witnessing and evangelism and missionary and all of these different facets that make up the church. And that's how people came to learn what it was that they believed and why they believed it. Because they had the teaching and they had the training. I'm afraid that in too many of our churches today, that formal format, it's missing in too many of our churches. And too many Christians are growing up with no idea what the history of the church is or what the foundation of their faith really is all about. And I believe that's an area the church has got to work harder on. But that's not the end of discipleship. It's more than learning. As I said, it's about a relationship that we have. God wants to do more than save us. He wants to save us. The Scripture says Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. He's long-suffering, not only that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He wants to save us, but He also wants us to know Him. He wants us to experience Him. He wants us to have a close, intimate relationship with Him. And discipleship helps us to know God more deeply and more fully. Discipleship takes us past the words that are printed on a page to a living God who seeks to personally fellowship through the Spirit of God with His people. If you've experienced it, you know there's nothing like that feeling. There is nothing like feeling the Spirit of God in our hearts. I felt that this morning as we were singing and we were worshiping together. It's a wonderful feeling to feel the presence of God in our hearts. The other misconception that I talked about was that discipleship happens only on Sunday nights. Well, I thought about that misconception, and there's some things about that that troubled me. You know, I will admit this morning to you that I preach more to the church on Sunday nights than I do to the church on Sunday morning. And I will admit to you that I preach more to the unsaved on Sunday morning than I do on Sunday night. There's a reason for that. Of course, I'm following the leadership and the direction of God and trying to determine the messages that God wants me to bring. But I'll just tell you the truth of the matter is, the reason for that is because there's more unsaved people, there's more lost saved people in our morning worship on Sunday morning than there is on Sunday night. It's the best opportunity that we have as a church has to get the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ out to a lost and dying world. So Sunday nights is when I more often than not preach to the church. Sadly, many don't hear those messages of the church because they're not here. And you need to hear those messages. I'd encourage you to come back on Sunday nights and learn and grow. When I look at the example of Jesus, one of the things that I notice is that Jesus gave the 12 apostles on-the-job training. They had on-the-job training. And I believe with all my heart this morning that Jesus will give us on-the-job training as well if we are sensitive to the leading of the Spirit of God. God is always, always seeking to use us because we are the means that He gets His Word out. So He's always seeking to use us, whether it be where we work or whether it be where we play, wherever it is that we're at, He wants to use us. We need more Christians discipling other Christians, not only in a church setting, but in a real world setting as well. They don't need to just see it and learn it in here. They need to see it and learn it outside the doors of this place. Another misconception was that discipleship is optional for Christians. The truth is, discipleship is not optional for any Christian. It's not optional. Why is that? Because from the moment that we are saved, from the moment we put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, all Christians are called to follow Jesus. What was a disciple? A follower of Jesus. When we became saved, we automatically, instantly became a follower of Jesus. And all Christians are called to follow Jesus and what Jesus has specifically called for us to do. God desires. God has desire. And He desires that all Christians walk with Him. He desires that all Christians enjoy Him. He desires that all Christians grow deeper in their relationship with Him. We become disciples the moment we're saved. The last misconception that I want to talk about before I close was that discipleship's goal is to show us the rules to be better Christians. The truth is that discipleship's goal is to teach us how to be like Jesus. That's what I said. We are to emulate. We are to copy. We're to follow Him. In the Old Testament, when we read through the Old Testament, it was important for them to memorize the rules and the regulations. It was important for them to memorize the law. But it's more than that. Certainly, we need to know what the teachings are. But in Romans chapter 8 and verse 29, it records to us there, "For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestine to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren." God wants you and me to be like His Son, Jesus Christ. He wants us to be the person, He wants us to be the people, He wants us to be the church that He created us to be. He wants the world to see His Son through us, through me, and through you. And God's goal for discipleship is for you and me to be a reflection of His Son, Jesus Christ. Does that describe you as a Christian this morning? Brothers and sisters, it's a lot to live up to. But I can tell you this morning that I am thankful to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to exhibit discipleship throughout my life. Don't you? We all should want to. The first step to discipleship is to step out on faith and follow Jesus. That's really where it begins. Jesus told Nicodemus, He said, "Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." To be born again, the Scripture is clear that one must believe in Him. Who's Him? In Jesus. We must believe in Jesus. We must trust Him. We must trust Jesus. And upon receiving Him, the Bible says the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And then we follow Him. We follow Him as a disciple of the Lord. I'm going to close with my text, John chapter 12, verse 26. Jesus said, "If any man serve me, any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be." I don't know about you, but I'm looking forward to that promise. Because in John chapter 14, Jesus said, "I go to prepare a place. And if I go to prepare a place, I'll come again and I'll receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Well, this just said, Jesus said, "Where I am, there shall my servant be. I know where I'm going, because Jesus said so. If any man serve Him," listen to this part, "Him will my Father honor." I want to be blessed by the Lord. And God's Word tells us that's what He'll do. How many disciples do we have here this morning? Got a few more hands this morning. Good. Maybe we cleared up some of those misconceptions about what a disciple is. That's my message to you this morning. Christian brothers and sisters, I hope it's been an encouragement to you. Will, come on up here. Let's have a song. I know the time is getting by us. I try to be conscientious to the time and let us out at a reasonable time, but you know what? There may be someone here this morning who heard about what a disciple is, heard about what the requirements are, and at the end of my message, I told you what was necessary to become a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe the Spirit of God has burdened your heart. Maybe you need Jesus. Maybe you were hoping that as I came to the end of my sermon that, hey, maybe he's not going to give an altar call today. Maybe you were burdened and thought, I don't want to go seek the Lord, and he's not going to give an altar call, so in a few minutes, I'm out of here. But you know what? I feel an impression to give an altar call today. If you're that person, don't fight the drawing of the Spirit of God. You want peace? You want joy in your life? It begins by having a relationship and fellowship with God. While we stand together, let's sing. Somebody feels the need to come and bow and pray. We invite you to come. Seek the Lord. Be saved. Leave here a new creature in Christ this morning. That was Jesus. That's what he did. Is there one this morning? Will you come? Will you step out?